Let's see what the stew has for us today.
Welcome to the Gnomecast, the Gnome Stew's tabletop gaming advice podcast. Here we talk with other gnomes about gaming things to avoid becoming part of the stew. So I guess we'd better be good today. Today, we've got Senda, Matt, TJ, and myself, Ange. Before we dive into our main topic, though, let's ask our get-to-know-a-gnome question. In honor of today's topic, what is your favorite romance? Literary, cinematic, whatever, which love story is your absolute favorite? How about you, Senda?
That's a really hard question. I'm going to go with the first one that comes to my mind, which might not be the... Like, if I thought about it for longer, I might be able to think of more things. Just, this is the first thing that pops into my head. So I'm going to say The Princess Bride.
I like that one. How about you, Matt?
That is an excellent choice, Senda. Luckily, I read the notes ahead of time. Because my first gut reaction to this was, what? Come on, no. But then, like, 5 minutes later, it hit me. And so I actually have, like, 5 web pages open to make sure I say this right. My favorite romance is The Anatomist's Apprentice by Matthew Claxton. It's a short novella. Don't confuse it with The Anatomist's Apprentice by Tessa something or other. I don't know anything about the one from Tessa something or other, other than it was published in 2011. The Anatomist's Apprentice that I'm talking about by Claxton was published in 2004, and it's this steampunk, bizarre love story thing. The full text is available online. It was originally published by Sci-Fi back when Sci-Fi published science fiction, and it's excellent. Go find it. It's really, really good.
That is awesome. That is obscure and awesome.
It'll make you cry.
JT, on the Get to Know a Gnome question, what is your favorite love story? Literary, cinematic, whatever. What's your absolute favorite?
I'm going to say Romeo and Juliet, although technically that's more of a tragedy than a romance. But I like it because it very well reflected pretty much every relationship I had through junior high and high school. Up until the end, except for the death part, but it was a very accurate reflection of my romantic lack of success throughout my adolescence and teen years. So I kind of have a soft spot in my heart for Romeo and Juliet.
I have a friend who is a Shakespearean literary professor.
Okay.
And she is constantly like, this is not what you're supposed to be aiming for.
Right.
This is not your goal.
I agree. But that seems to be how they all ended up at the end of the day. So,
well, hopefully with less death.
Yes, very much less death. Yes. I died inside a little bit each time, but that's a whole another topic, I think.
I think that's pretty standard for teenagers.
Yeah, probably is. Yeah.
I'm going to say that mine is actually... John Crichton and Aronson from Farscape. I love the romantic arc of those two characters from beginning to end of that whole series.
Very cool.
Is this the embarrassing part where I admit that one of my friends is a romance author, so I've read a lot of random romance in my life? Anyway, carry on.
This episode, the reason we're talking about romance is we're going to talk to the authors behind The Scandalous and Salacious 26.5 Shades of Scarlet, the very first Gnome Stew gamer romance novel. Back in April 2015, the Stew hinted at the potential for these romantic gnome stories, but the promise wasn't fulfilled until this month, exactly 2 years later. Each short story in the compilation tells a story of gnomish love. Within the steamy pages are 4 stories. Unfortunately, we weren't able to coordinate schedules with Troy to get him here to talk about his story, A Scandal in Gnomehemia. But we've got the other 3 authors here. So, first up, Senda, let's talk about your story in the collection, The Gnome Hunters.
Yes.
So, give us the summary without it being too spoilery.
Oh, well, let's see. So, Layla is our heroine, and she is your standard... self-replacement blogger who hangs out at coffee shops and doesn't have a real job. And she, of course, has a dark history with gnomes in her past. and a mystery. And she is saved from a whole crew of gnomes that are attacking her by a dark, mysterious stranger who, of course, is going to protect her from gnomes, but he believes that all gnomes are evil, and she has this gnome ancestry, so can they possibly make it work?
So, you know, after having put all of this out there, what are your thoughts on actually writing romance fiction?
It entertained me immensely. Because, like I said, I've actually read an embarrassing, like, then there's the terrible stuff that you're like, oh, I'm going to highlight this because it's funny. And then there's things like, you know, you hit like Cheryl and Kenyon and they're really romantic and they're kind of erotic, but they're also like, this is a really good story. And so I was pretty clearly parodying some of those urban fantasy romances that are kind of the new trend. And they tend to have pretty much that story arc a lot. I had a lot of fun doing it. My favorite line is definitely that the gnomes in their pointed hats were circling like sharks. I'm really proud of that line because the hats are like fins, you know.
Now I've got the song from Deep Blue Sea stuck in my head, you jerk.
Wait, does the gnome come up out of nowhere and eat Samuel Jackson?
We should write that story too.
So, Senda, what was your favorite part of this whole experience?
Gnomes circling like sharks.
I kind of knew you kind of answered that one, but I still had to ask the question.
It's fine. I got to say it again. I spent most of the time that I was writing it kind of like sitting there and be like, typey, 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 typey. And then I would be like, because I was like, oh, it's so good. Like, there's so many, you know, rippling muscles and flowing locks. I don't know. I had a lot of fun writing it.
You had fun with the purple prose?
Yes.
I was actually going to ask you, Senda, you know, where you got your inspiration from, because I totally heard exactly that urban fantasy, you know, themes in there. That's actually the guilty pleasure fiction of my wife, and yep. It makes me want to saw my ears off, and I love making fun of it more than anything else, but... I totally picked that up. I think you did an excellent job. I just wish you would have had more.
Right.
You know, I know you totally hit the length that we were looking for, but I feel like there was a whole novel waiting to be told there.
You know, to be entirely honest, there kind of was. And I was like, oh, I found an endpoint, and now I'm going to go on spring break. Bye, guys!
That's how I write most of my articles.
Right, I know, yeah, me yeah. too. But normally the article is short, so I was like, oh, because there was definitely, like, you know, more story I thought I could fit in, but I ran out of time.
Every time I try to write, that is exactly what I discovered. You know, I've got this story in my head, and it's like, this will take me like 20 minutes to bang out. 5 hours later, I've accumulated 10,000 words, and it's like, what the hell? Where'd this all come from?
Right?
So, speaking of your writing, Matt, let's move on to your story, A Lady's Beard. Can you give us the summary without being too spoilery?
Well, let's give it a shot. So, my heroine is Minnaline, and she is a young, noble, gnomish lass. That's a tongue twister for you. And she's very dissatisfied with her life. And her overbearing father and her irritating fiance. And I feel, you know, I hit that trope pretty hard, right? And, and so she meets someone new and her life fixes itself. Now, I guess because this is, well, I don't know. I feel like maybe in these stories, a lot of the heroines don't fix their own lives. Life fixes itself for them. Right.
Yeah, so, that's a pretty bad trope that's common.
Yeah, it's not very what's the word, agency positive or whatever the real term for that is. But yes, I did the same thing every other bad romance novelist does.
Well, hey, I wrote a Mary Sue, so you know.
So, what are your thoughts on writing romance fiction? Is this your first romance story you've ever put out there, or?
I actually don't think so.
Even better.
I don't remember specifics, but I do. I did a lot of writing in high school with some of my friends. I don't know if anybody else ever did this, but we had a lined notebook, and we would pass it around. And so I'd write a couple pages, and they'd write a couple pages, and so on and so forth. And I think there were some shades of romance in some of those. And then I did, one of my high school buddies reminded me that I wrote The Adventures of Prince Wangle. It was Prince Wangle's quest to find love from some princess or the other. And so I guess technically it wasn't.
And you wrote this as a teenager.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I am both fascinated and horrified by this.
You know, I actually asked him, because he said, when are you going to write the sequel, after I wrote my entry into 26 and a Half Shades of Scarlet? And I said, I don't even remember anything about The Adventures of Prince Wangle, except that it was about Prince Wangle, and it had Loge the Thief in it. I said, do you by any chance have a copy of this anywhere, and I'll give it a shot? And he said, Jesus Christ, no. So,
so it is lost forever to the depths of time.
It is, and it's probably better that way.
Sigh.
I actually would write a little bit and then read it to my wife and daughter and then write a little bit more. And they were immensely helpful and gave me a lot of tips because, I needed a lot of tips because I don't read a lot of romance. And it was definitely a beginner's learning curve.
What was your favorite part of this whole experience?
Well, I really enjoyed the finished product and I got to read everybody else's stuff. And I'm always, every time we do one of these gnome projects, where everybody does a little bit, and then you go and you look at it, you see all these different approaches and viewpoints and different ways, and I always really love that, seeing what everybody else came up with and saying, holy moly, look at that. I never would have thought of that in a million years. Other than that, I also really enjoyed actually finishing a piece of writing instead of writing 2.5 pages and then canning it forever.
Oh, you mean like what I did?
Well, you know, to the untrained eye, yours looks complete.
Oh, good. Now I've revealed my secret to the world.
No.
Curses! Foiled again!
Your secret weakness! Oh, no!
It's okay. It's totally finished.
Last but not least, JT, let's talk about your contribution to the collection, An Unlikely Hero. Can you give us the summary without being too spoilery?
Sure. So it is about a gnome bard who hired on as a caravan guard through some miracle landed the job, even though he didn't even own a sword. And there was a gnome merchant lady who was part of the caravan, and he continually tried to impress her and woo her to no avail until shenanigans happened and he comes to the rescue. I think that's about the smallest amount of spoilers I can put into the description.
So what are your thoughts on writing romance fiction?
I am not very good at it. As some people who pick up the collection may tell, there's actually not a lot of romance in there. There's romantic elements, but I didn't get all hot and heavy with the descriptions because I get kind of flustered with that. I start to blush at my own descriptors. So I kind of go light-handed and fade to black when it comes to romantic elements, which is a perfectly valid thing. I'm an author, so I've got a lot of friends who write romance, and I've discussed this with them, and they said, yeah, fade to black is perfectly acceptable. And even in some markets like Christian romance, that's a requirement. You don't actually show the sex scenes. You set things up, you get the couple into the bedroom, and then close the door and fade to black.
That makes sense.
That's the nature of that particular market. So I kind of took that approach with my story. Left the hot and heavy petting to be implied and to left it up to the reader's imagination.
So what was your favorite part of this whole experience?
So the gnome, my protagonist in my story, is actually based on a character that a player played in a second edition AD&D campaign that I ran, probably 20 years ago. And I reached out to my friend Matt and said, hey, can I use your gnome bard in a story? And he said, yeah, sure, go for it. And we both remember the character very, very well, but neither one of us can remember his name. it's been too long. So I just made up a name and ran with it. But basically, he had managed to roll max for the gnome strength. So he figured he was a big, well, relative to gnomes, big, muscly bard. And he ran around with pantaloons on, and that's it. So he was always topless, and he oiled his muscles and walked around and flexed and would flare his nostrils, and that's how he showed his prowess. So I took that element of his character with his permission and incorporated it into my story, just because I thought that would be a great humorous element.
That's hilarious that he made such an impression on you guys that you remember him 20 years later, even if you don't remember his name.
Oh yeah, very much so. Yeah, he was such a fun character because he got into all sorts of trouble because he would overextend himself. Then through some miracle or clever plotting and falling back on his bardic abilities, managed to wiggle his way out of whatever tight spot he got into. So I also used that element of his character's abilities to somehow, oh gosh, muddle through a bad situation and come out on top.
That's awesome. Did you have any thoughts on this, Matt?
I did. JT, I just wanted to say I really enjoyed your story.
Oh, thank you.
You did a really good job of like painting this kind of lovable loser type character that you're not quite rooting for because you're pretty sure he's not going to make it, but you really hope he does. And then when he pulls it out in the end, then you're there like, yes, he did it. And it's a very satisfying moment.
Awesome. Well, thank you. That's kind of what I was shooting for, where, like you said, he was the lovable idiot. You had no clue if he was going to make it through because he had no skills that applied to the current situation, but he just managed to do it, you know, in the end. So
that's awesome.
So thank you. I'm glad that impression came through clear and it worked. I appreciate that. Thank you.
I will say from talking to everyone, it sounds like everyone who did this had a blast doing it.
Oh, very much so.
Definitely.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
So, if you're interested in getting your hands on these stories of unlikely love and lust, head on over to DriveThruRPG, where you can pay what you want and get the download. We'll have the link in the show notes, but you can also find it by looking for Encoded Designs over there. Special thanks to our Patreon backers, awesome gnome supporters like Lord Tentacle, Suzanne Cabral, and The Mensch. Thanks to their help and others like them, this show is funded by the Gnome Stew Patreon. You too can be a Patreon backer by following the Patreon link on the Gnome Stew website to the Gnome Stew Patreon. This ad brought to you by Gnomish Love. You thought I was going to say Patreon. You can find all of us at GnomeStew.com, at GnomeStew on Twitter, and GnomeStew on Facebook. But where else can we find you guys on the internet? Senda?
How many places do you want me to list?
Give us the top three.
Okay, you can find me on Twitter at IDELLAMITHLYNND, which I know is unspellable. So if you can't spell that, you can also find me on Twitter at Pandas Talk Games or at Saskeek Podcast, of course. And you can find me on Google Plus, where I hang out in the Misdirected Mark community a lot.
How about you, Matt?
I'm perpetually convinced that I have really nothing of interest to say, so I'm nowhere except Gnome Stew. So, Senda, if you want to list a few more and take my spot, go right ahead.
Yep, you can find me on Facebook.com/pandas.games, and you can and Facebook.com/Saskeek, and Saskeek.com, and just make it stop. You don't want all of this. You just don't.
You can find me on Twitter at Orikes13, O-R-I-K-E-S. It's a little easier to spell than Idella Mifflin. Just a little. JT, where can we find you on the internet?
I got a one-stop shop. I try to make it as easy as possible to find me. If you just go to jtevans.net, in the upper right corner of every page, you can find links to all my social media. I probably have too many, to be honest with you. So I just make it easy instead of rambling off the long list. Just head to my website and feel free to you know, tag me on Twitter, follow me on Facebook, anything like that. It's all easy to find from there.
We'll leave the rambling to Senda. Okay, awesome. So, do you guys think we avoided the stew this week?
I certainly hope so.